Brian Burke, we were just discussing again that with how this NHL playoff has gone, how many GMs are going to be looking at what Kekalainen has done? It's like Columbus has as good a chance as anybody to come out, not just to get to round two, but now to get out of the East and go to the Cup final altogether. We're hoping that next year, trade deadline day, the show is going to be full of teams just going all in.
Well, first off, I mean, it's a great story in Columbus because they did go all in. I mean, the risk that they took, it's more than all in. And the analogy I used on TV, it's like when Cortez burned his ships. I mean, basically, it's the biggest gamble in the NHL in many, many years. In fact, maybe ever that I can think of. So I wouldn't recommend it as a long-term strategy. Remember, all-in bets for you poker players are usually bets of desperation. Usually you're the short stack. Usually it's, you know, it's not a common bet. Or if it were a good odds bet, you'd see it with far more frequency. So I don't think people are going to start doing what Columbus did, even if they continue to be successful. The reason they're successful is not because of the guys they've kept in free. They've drafted very well. They have a great coach. They're getting great goaltending. This could all still blow up on them. They could lose in this round and then not re-sign any of those guys. And then people say, ah, well, so, I mean, this is just a crazy playoff. There's a full moon out there. You saw it again last night with Carolina advancing. I mean, they're not a better team than Washington, but they deserve to advance. They played better. It's upset after upset after upset, and it's making people like us look like idiots with our predictions. And we do that by ourselves enough.
You're right.
Teams helping us.
Look at you. It's us now. I like that you're part of the group. Of the teams that were eliminated in round number one, who will be under the most pressure to make changes in the offseason? I mean, Tampa Bay seems like they're fine. Caps are coming off of a cup, but I wonder about teams like Pittsburgh. Obviously, I saw you on Tim and Sid talking about the Leafs yesterday. Where is it big trouble for losses after round one?
Well, I don't think anyone's in trouble. Trouble in our world, going back to my GM seat, trouble is, okay, someone's getting fired. And I don't sense there's any appetite for that anywhere. I haven't heard rumblings in any of the cities that have been eliminated because I think owners, who are not normally a patient group, realize this is an aberration. I honest to God, I don't recall a playoff like this ever. And I went back and looked. I'm trying to find one year where you had this many upsets. So I don't think anyone's in trouble. As far as pressure to make changes, I think if I'm the GM in Calgary, I'm looking at, okay, we had a great year, a great regular season. We took a step forward as a team, no question about it. The changes we made all benefited us. We had the youngest defense of any team in the playoffs. We have taken a step forward. Now, how do we fix this? We have to do better in the playoffs. How do we fix this? And not just going out, but going out in five. And going out in five with superb goaltending. How do we fix it? Same thing in Tampa. I don't think Julien Brisbois is going to start shooting people. I think he's going to say, okay, what do we need to change to? Maybe we're too complacent. Everyone's under long-term contracts. Everyone's happy except Braden Point right now. Maybe we're too complacent. Pittsburgh is a little different because they didn't get a top seed, and they had trouble with a team that, you know, is a good team but should have been closer. I think they're going to look for more major changes. I think they're not a coaching change, but more personnel changes. But if I'm Calgary, if I'm Tampa, I'm like, okay, we've taken a step forward. We got valuable playoff experience. Sometimes those welts you get from getting whipped are important, those scars you get. So, but I think the most pressure, I don't think Nashville's going to blow anything up. Like, they're close, too. They got to tweak it. But it's crazy what's happening. Like, you look at the Washington Capitals, who have a great team and have a great coach and have a great everything. They're out in round one. Tampa's out in round one. Calgary's out in round one. Like, Vegas is going to make millions of dollars on the bets that were placed on these teams.
Chatting with Brian Burke here on Boomer and Warner in the Morning. We're still struggling. It's been basically a week trying to figure out. If you watch the series, you know what happened. The Flames, they looked slow. They looked outmatched. They looked overwhelmed. Why did they look so? Just go with, I guess, for starters, team speed. Why did it seem like Colorado had them on their heels the entire series?
Well, I think, first off, I think they're a faster team than they got credit for. I think team speed is one of the things they had in oodles going in, and no one talked about it. They talked about Nathan MacKinnon being fast, but they play fast. And I think when you play a team that plays fast and you're not keeping up, my opinion, what I thought, for example, last night with Washington Capitals, I thought they should have slowed that game down. Carolina was coming at them with too much speed. They're having trouble matching it. You slow that game down for me. You go D to D. You have more five-man breakouts, more organized units, not stretching it so much, not sprinting up and down. So, you know, from my perspective, once you see that, you can adjust to it a little bit. But that's a fast team, and they've got the most dangerous player that's still playing today, that's still alive in playoff contention, in Nathan MacKinnon.
So, I know it's listening to, and I know you would appreciate it, because I know you kind of like the honesty. Hearing Bill Peters and Brad Treliving in their year-end comments, there was no trying to excuse it, no, hey, we lost two games in overtime. There was none of that. They know full well that they were beaten and beaten soundly. From Treliving's perspective, and like you said, how do you, with this playoff being what it is, how do you tinker? What would be one area to start with? If you were Treliving, what would be, I guess, job number one in the off season?
Well, first off, I mean, they've got to address the guys they've got to sign. They got to make a decision on Smitty, and they got to get Sam Bennett signed. I thought Sam Bennett had just a remarkable playoff. And they got to address the goaltending issue. They bring Mike Smith back. All the geniuses in the media said he can't play, he's done, and he turned in the best goaltending performance to date in the playoffs. So that's number one. You got to address that, in my opinion, would be number one sitting around the table. Then I think you got to let the dust settle after you have an unexpected loss. I don't think you think clearly in the days following an unexpected loss, a terrible loss. So I think you let the dust settle, you get the emotion out of it, and then you focus on, okay, what do we need to do going forward? So our big guys did not come through. Why not? Was the game too fast for Sean Monahan? I don't know. Lindholm, who had a great regular season, I thought had an average playoff. Johnny had an average playoff. Worked his tail off, tried everything. I loved his effort, and I actually loved how he actually contributed in all three zones at different times, but he got nothing done. So what do you do about that? How do you fix that? Do you need to bring in more size around him? Do you need more team speed? So that's the type of breakdown you do player by player after the dust settles, after the emotion. Because right after you lose, you're mad at your players. Like, you're just sour at your players. You want to trade every one of them. You like to beat the crap out of some of them. You're just sour. And you got to let that emotion cool off before you start addressing what do we need. So I think they've begun that process. It cooled off. Now they'll sit down and start reflecting on it. But you got to go player by player. Like, who had a good playoff? You know, like I said this on TV yesterday about the Leafs. Who had a good playoff for the Leafs? Mm-hmm. Really, a handful of players.
For the Flames, it's interesting because you mentioned Sean Monahan. And if you start talking about team speed, if you go on that top line, well, Monahan doesn't have elite speed, nothing close to it. On that second line, certainly Matthew Tkachuk doesn't have that kind of speed. You go to the third line and Jankowski doesn't have terrific speed. Were we lulled into, or did we not focus on this, or am I wrong in seeing that maybe there is, over throughout the forward group, a lack of speed?
Well, I think Jankowski's got good speed. I think he maybe needs a little bit of runway to get to fourth gear, but I think he's an elite skater once he gets going. He's got real good speed, so I quarrel with you on that. But on Monahan, he's never had elite speed. Like, that's not, I knew that when I got there, and that was 6 years ago. So he's never had elite speed, never will. But he's got enough speed to, you know, catch the play. And a lot of his goals are scored trailing the play, where he moves into the slot area and finishes. He's a finisher more than anything else. Matthew Tkachuk is an average skater at best. That's a complimentary description. So he's going to be, what he's really good at, as good as anybody, is taking a pass in his own end and making an intelligent play to get out of the zone with speed. Not him, but he turns back and finds the defenseman coming with speed better than anybody. and it's tape to tape, and they're out of the zone with speed, and then he trails the play. His strength is play once, you know, below the dots, once they gain the zone. So he's really good in the zone end, helps him get the zone, useless in the neutral zone because he's trailing the play, and then he becomes deadly again from the top of the circles end. So that's they got to play around that. You know, and they did it all year. So Gio jumps up, Chucky finds him with the puck, trails the play, comes in, and now he's dangerous again. So they did it all year. So there's no secret. No one's ever going to describe Matthew Tkachuk as a graceful skater or a good skater. He's average. And again, I'm being polite. Mm-hmm. Average is a very polite description of the skating. But so all these things worked in the regular season. How come it fell apart in the playoffs? That's what they have to focus on. How did they not ratchet it up? Was it a sweat thing? Was it a work thing? I don't think so. Was it a speed thing? Okay, then we have to look at our speed.
Because we've been sitting here, and I made a list in the Western Conference, and it's maybe unfair to Sean Monahan, and we're going to talk about it here this morning, but I don't know where Sean Monahan ranks in the West or even in the National Hockey League as a number one center. And it's an indictment on him, but he's maybe not best cast as a first line center. Is that fair?
What team would he be a first line center on? Like, so there's teams with better first line centers, but I think he's a first line center. I mean, what's his average point total, or goal total, the last 5 years?
Yeah, that's undeniable. But when you look at McKinnon and Taves and McDavid and Kopitar and I
love Jonathan Taves, but I think Sean Monahan can stake a claim for being a number one center just like Jonathan can. Jonathan's got some other intangibles that make him special, but as far as statistically, Sean Monahan's, I don't have it in front of me. I'm sure he's better.
Yeah. Do you have any good feel on round number two after what we saw in round number one?
No. I'm going to go to a fortune teller this afternoon and get her predictions if it's a she. I mean, it's great for hockey. Like, the fact that Columbus is playing in the second round, great for hockey. It's great for hockey that Carolina's still playing. That's good for our league that some of these markets have success, the Islanders. So it's great for hockey. It's terrible for broadcasters. It's not going to do much for the ratings with no Canadian teams in. But it's great for hockey, and there's going to be some great hockey in the second round. And it's going to, you know, I think Boston's going to find out that the series they played with the Toronto Maple Leafs was a very polite lawn party, except for game two. As I said yesterday on TV, it was a pillow fight. And now they're going back in the alley with Columbus. It's going to change real fast. I'm excited about the second round, but do I have any feel or any predictions? I'll leave that to someone else because I'm not good at it.
In the East, you've got teams that either have been sitting around for weeks or they just played a seven-game series and are exhausted, but way more run down than the other team. Would you rather be the team that just played and moved on, or would you rather be a team that's had the rest?
The rest. I mean, we went through it in Anaheim. The year we won the Cup, no one took us to – Detroit took us to six games. All the other series were five. So we only lost five games out of in the whole run. We had time off in between rounds, and it was invaluable because Sammy Paulson couldn't even practice. He was so banged up. We were banged up. So you get to this point in the season, you're tired, you're banged up. There may be some rust that may cost him game one, but overall, I'd rather have the rest.
Enjoy round two, Brian. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.